We look at what God's going to say to us through his word this morning. At this time of the year, you quite often hear people using some cheesy slogans about Christmas. It might be that Jesus is the reason for the season, or wise men still seek Jesus. Or I came across a funny one this week that said the manger was the first king-sized bed. I thought that was quite funny. Or there's that familiar one that says Christmas is not about the presents, but his presence. And I want to think about this morning in this well-known passage in Matthew chapter 1, where Joseph is told about a son being born, and he would be called the name Jesus and Emmanuel, which means God with us. Joseph doesn't get a lot of airtime in the Gospels, does he? We don't hear much about him after the Christmas story, but he's central in this part of Matthew's Gospel. And we're told, he was told some amazing things about this son, this baby that would be born. Boys and girls, you maybe think you have a very special granda, that there's no one like him in all the world, but Matthew tells us about Joseph's granda, about how he was part of this special line, and his granda and his great-granda and all the ones that came before, all the way back to people like King David and Abraham. See, he was part of a very special family line. For years, as we said, people were waiting for this person to come, someone out of this family who would come and rescue God's people. And so it's into this family that Jesus came. Joseph didn't know the importance of all that was to come or what would happen in these next few events. But he was going to become the earthly father of someone very special indeed. He was, as we know, engaged to Mary. He was going to marry her, but this was more than just getting down on one knee and putting a ring on her finger. This was something that was very formal. It was legally binding in those days. But they weren't married yet. We're told in verse 18 that they hadn't come together as husband and wife. They hadn't the second ring on the finger yet. They weren't living together. And so it was a big shock for Joseph when he found out that Mary was pregnant. He must have been wondering, how on earth had this happened? There must have been so many questions going through his mind. Had she been unfaithful? How could she do this to me? He would have been so horrified at what had taken place. If you think about a married couple and they hear news of a new baby going to be born, they're excited, aren't they? They're often overjoyed at this news. But instead of this being a joyful, happy, excited moment for Joseph, he must have been devastated. This was awful news for him to hear. But yet we're told here that he was a righteous man. That means he does what was right. He's fair, he's honest. And so when he heard this news, he didn't just fly off the handle and he didn't slag Mary off to everyone that he met. I'm sure many of us might do that if we were in that situation. We might not be quite as gracious. But Joseph decides to do the decent thing here. He decides to break off the relationship, but he was going to do it quietly so that it doesn't cause Mary any great shame. He was trying to do the honorable thing, the right thing. I'm sure he tossed about a lot that night as they tried to get to sleep. You know, as you do when you hear some big news. But as he slept that night, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And listen to these words again in verse 20 of what the angel said. Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Matthew goes on to say that this was to fulfill this old promise, that the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Whoa, that is a lot to take in one dream. He's just heard that Mary's baby, the one that she was expecting, is God coming to be with us. And he was also told that Mary was pregnant through the work of the Holy Spirit, and that this child would be the one who would come and save his people from their sin. That's like one of those moments in a cartoon, you know, where smoke starts to come out of someone's ears, where they have just been overloaded in their brain, their head is fried at trying to take this information in. this news, this information, this miraculous event is what Christmas is all about. That God came to be with us, to be human like us, so that he could save people like us from our sin. That was a lot for Joseph to take in, wasn't it? I wonder, would we believe that news? Have we heard it? Have we heard that explanation of Mary's pregnancy? Would we be so believing and accepting of it? I think it's so amazing how Joseph reacted here. There's no kickback. He doesn't argue with the angel. He doesn't say anything, really. As God spoke to him, Joseph acted on God's word. Instead of getting rid of Mary, he was obedient. He took her to be his wife. That surely wouldn't have been easy, would it? Because he would have had to face up to the talk of people in the town. But he was prepared to follow God's instruction, no matter what it would cost him. But I wonder, are we so willing to follow God's instruction? Or are we so eager to follow God's word, even if it will cost us, even if it will be difficult for us? See, when this son was born, Joseph again showed his obedience as he gave him the name. What was the name? Jesus. He gave him that name just as he was told to. But I'm sure him and Mary had maybe thought about names that they would give their first child. If you've had that opportunity as a parent, well, you maybe know the ordeal you go through. You look through all the list of names. You think what will sound right. How will you spell that name? And you maybe think, well, what does that name actually mean? Well, as Joseph named this baby boy Jesus, he knew exactly what that name meant. Because this was another name for the name Joshua, which means Savior, the one who would save. And although he didn't know how that would come about, he knew that this was a very special child who God had chosen, was going to use to save his people. And so by him actually giving him the name Jesus, he was playing a part in that great plan. And Joseph actually became his adoptive father. Jesus was brought into that special line, that one with those special granders and great-granders and all those. He was brought into that line. And Joseph was then going to take care of him and raise him and bring him up. Isn't it easy to see why this is good news for Joseph? He had such relief when he heard about how Mary's pregnancy came about and what it would mean. Although this was difficult for him to take, I'm sure, it was good news. But why is this Christmas story, why is this message good news for you and for me here today? Why is it so important that he was given the name Jesus? Why is it so important that we celebrate Emmanuel, God with us? Well, if we think back to the very start of the Bible, when God made Adam and Eve in his image, we're told there that God was with them, that he walked with them in the garden in the cool of the day. See, that was so special. God was with his people. They could talk with him. They enjoyed being with him in that wonderful, good creation. But sadly, as even the boys and girls know, that Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They sinned, and they ruined it for not only them as they were cut off from God, but for every single one of us here. Because every human being that has ever lived after them had this problem of sin and were cut off from God. They couldn't be in his presence. You know how it is when maybe someone has a nut allergy? I don't know if any of you have got that. But you get these notes that come home from school. You're not allowed to put things into your lunchbox that contains nuts. Because if someone has this allergy, they can't come near even the slightest trace of nuts. Well, so it is with a perfect and holy God. He cannot come near the slightest trace of sin. It cannot be in his presence. And so God was no longer with us as he once was. What a desperate situation that was. But look, folks, it's crucial that we understand just how bad it was when we were lost in our sin and cut off from God. Because we can't truly celebrate Christmas until we know this great problem. We can't see our need of a Savior. We can't see our need of God having to come to save us unless we know our problem. But thankfully, God did come. He took the initiative to come and restore that relationship. And you could say this is the big story of the Bible. And its focal point was when Emmanuel came to be a reality. Because this was no ordinary child. This was the eternal Son of God coming into the world that he created. He'd even created Mary, yet he confined himself to her womb. But it's not that he left heaven empty of his presence or stopped being the Son of God. Notice the Son of God added to himself that he took on that human nature. He did that so that he could come and save people like us from our sin. But he didn't save us by just being born in Bethlehem, did he? He didn't save us by staying in that manger. No, he left that manger. He grew up. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He lived a life that none of us can live because we all do wrong, don't we? From the youngest to the oldest, we have all disobeyed God. We have all gone our own way. You see, it was crucial that Jesus was obedient. He was sinless. Because it was only because of that that he could carry out this plan of salvation. Because that was the only way that he could take on our sin if he remained obedient all the way to the cross. It was there that he offered up his life as our substitute, and he took on our sin, and he dealt with the punishment instead of us having to take it on. Isn't that an amazing thing that Jesus did for us? Remember, Joseph gave him the name Jesus, and we're told because he will save his people from their sins. I wonder, can you say that he has saved, put in your name, from your sin? Can you say that truly this morning? Do you believe in Jesus, who he is, what he came to achieve and accomplish? That's great if you can. I hope we all can say that here this morning. Because it's only then that we can truly celebrate this good news, this birth of a Savior at Christmas. Because not only was he born into this world, but through him we can celebrate new birth in our own lives. When we come to know our sins forgiven, we can rejoice that we have been born again. What a difference that makes in your life, if you can say that this morning, when you know that is true. Because when you actually read to the end of this Gospel of Matthew, the very last words that he leaves with his disciples is, "Surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." And in one of the last chapters of the Bible, it gives us an even greater hope, an eternal hope that God is not only with us in this life, but in the one to come. He says he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. When we trust in Jesus, we know his presence with us in this life, in the happy times and the joyous times, the times of celebration with family at Christmas, in the good times, don't we? We can celebrate that. But yet for many, that Christmas time, it will be a difficult time. It will be a time of sadness. But we can take comfort in these promises that we find in God's word, knowing that as you mourn, as you miss loved ones, as you're maybe lonely this Christmas, in Jesus, God is with you. Maybe you've had a scan result that hasn't gone so well, or maybe you're facing a battle with illness this Christmas, or maybe you're in that period of depression in your life, or maybe your family is falling apart this Christmas. Remember, God is with you through it all. In life, we go through many ups and downs, but when we know Jesus as Savior and as Lord, he is ever present with us by his Spirit. He has promised to never leave us or forsake us. And unlike us, he never breaks those promises. So we continue day to day in the hope of this good news that he is always with us. And one day, if you trust in him as Savior, you will be there in his presence for all eternity. This is why Christmas is such good news. I hope every one of us can truly celebrate this news because you know Jesus as Savior and Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this good news that we hear, especially at Christmas time, of your Son coming into this world, Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you that he did come, that he took on human flesh. He became like one of us for that great purpose of becoming Jesus, the one who would save his people from their sin. We thank and praise you that Jesus led that perfect life where we couldn't. We thank you that he was obedient all the way to the cross, where he was our substitute as he suffered and died in our place for our sin. We thank you that because he is risen and he is at your right hand, we have this great hope of eternal life. We have this great hope of your presence continuing with us by your Spirit if we are in Christ. And so we pray this morning for each one that they'd have this true sense of your presence in their life, because they know sin's forgiven and they know Jesus as Savior. Lord, continue with us this Christmas season, that we may know Emmanuel, that we would know your help through even the darkest of days, through times of difficulty, through times of loss and sadness, through times of loneliness and depression and all these things that can so much come against us. But Lord, we take great hope that you're there, that you're with us. And Lord, we look forward to being with you for all eternity as we look to Christ and trust in him. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.